back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you, the George Floyd trial, the trial of the officer who strangled him, accused of murder, is going on in Minneapolis, second day of testimony today. I'll tell you, very, very compelling the first day. You play that video, George Floyd begging 27 times, I can't breathe. He continues to strangle him. His defense is that's how he was trained. A lot of people coming on to say that isn't how he was trained. You're not trained to strangle people who have been who are submissive. You don't need it to protect yourself. But there's something about that trial that I want to say to you that I believe, and that is, I think it's a mistake to permit the televising of the trial. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I, for many years in my practice, tried cases and got involved in cases to get cameras into the courtroom. It's very, very good normally to have TV into the courtroom. Gets rid of the secrecy, and basically it's some sunshine, and basically people have greater confidence in our legal system. But there are exceptions, and one of them was the O.J. Simpson trial. The O.J. Simpson trial turned into a media event. It went on for months. They had, remember, the dancing Itos on Jay Leno, and suddenly the jurors and everybody are celebrities, and it's more about them than finding the true justice, and they ended up acquitting. Some of them want to make a statement. Some of them want a book deal. Who knows what they want? Then you have commentators all the time running the video. These jurors are not supposed to watch news. They all do. And nowadays with social media, it's impossible. You can tell them, don't look at social media. They all do, or their friends tell them about it, or their family tells them about it. In the civil trial of O.J. Simpson for murder, for damages, the judge did not permit TV cameras in, and the jury came back with a verdict finding that O.J. Simpson had done it. But by then, he'd been acquitted in a criminal case, and he couldn't be put in prison. He was finally put in prison for stealing sports memorabilia, but now he's out. He's a murderer. He's out. Well, in this particular case, all you're doing by letting it be televised, and this is not going to be months, but it'll 3 or 4 weeks. It'll go on, you know, 3 weeks, maybe more. You have all these commentators, pretty full of themselves, saying, well, I think this and I think that. All of that information basically lionizes the jurors. The law is that you can't name the jurors, but they all have descriptions of them and all this. If you had no TV, if you didn't make the mistake of the O.J. Simpson criminal trial, yes, reporters are in and the public, they're permitted in, but they have to sketch people. They can't televise them. And they have to give their account of it. And of course, they can't photograph the jury. Here, they can't photograph the jury either. Sometimes people make mistakes. But it diminishes the sensationalism of the trial. It gives the jurors some breathing room to sit there and think about the true nature of their role, instead of thinking that they're in a movie or they're on TV, even though they're not personally videotaped. And they don't have their judgment influenced by how is this going to look? How's it going to come out? Can I be a big man by acquitting? That kind of thing. Or by convicting. You got to take the sensationalism out of it. So in my view, in the most sensationalistic trials like this one and the O.J. Simpson one, you should not have television. People are already going to have access to it. There will be reporters in there. There'll be pool reporters. They will not be permitted, in my suggestion, to have cameras, but they'll you know, the AP will be in there and they'll issue stories. You'll have a couple of sketch artists in there. It diminishes the sensationalism, not relentless 24/7 TV. So the judge made a decision. By the way, this judge grew up in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin guy. Pretty good judge. Everything I've read about him and also looking at his decisions, I think he has done the right thing. I think he's solid. But he made this decision, which I disagree with, in the interest of, you know, getting rid of secrecy and all that. There was no secrecy otherwise. These are open courtrooms. Press can go in. The public can go in. Fewer because of social distancing. I get it. Okay, you're not going to get millions of people in there anyway. But there's a difference between access and sensationalism. And I am just concerned that this thing could take a bad turn, kind of a dancing Ito Jay Leno type turn, to give an analogy from the 90s with the O.J. Simpson trial. And that would be a very bad thing. So, and a lot of this commentator hype, like, you know, yeah, there are demonstrators there, but, you know, security, yeah, there's some security. But somehow giving the impression even that something untoward could happen in this, leave it alone. I know it attracts eyeballs. It attracts ears. It attracts viewers and listeners. But the main thing is justice. And the main thing is no sensationalism and no undue influence on jurors. No undue influence on jurors. So there you have it. Day two today. One good thing, the Freedom Caucus, the right-wing nut caucus for the Republican Party in the House of Representatives and the Congress, they're split down the middle on tactics. It's about time. Half of them are nuts. They really are nuts. And they want to slow up. You're lurking around. I see Luke lurking.
Yeah, Luke, I mean, I think the House Freedom Caucus is kind of always at odds of how to use their tactics. Let's not forget that in 2017, they had complete control of the Senate, House, and presidency, and the House Freedom Caucus was pretty much the primary reason why the government shut down for like 6 weeks. So they don't have great tactics.
There, Luke weighs in, a real admirer of the Freedom Caucus. Well,
oh yeah, big fan.
Half of them want to shut down anything that the Dems do. Anything, like, let's adjourn for lunch, and you know, no, they can't do it. The other half say, well, let's just shut down really important stuff and let them go to lunch and adjourn. Hey, I got news for these guys in the Congress. Why do you have these arcane 19th and 18th century rules where one guy in the Senate can hold up whatever he wants, and you have to have voice votes whenever some idiot says, no, I don't think that there's enough votes to adjourn for lunch. Come on, give me a break. Where is the leadership? Schumer and Pelosi, you get up there and you put in a motion, get rid of all the 19th and 18th century rules. And this is the way it's going to be. And the speaker says this, and, you know, 100 people in writing have to object, or 200 or something. You know, just, I mean, put the burden on the other side, not let the nut jobs shut everything down. But as long as the nut jobs can shut everything down, the nut jobs are split on how nutty they want to be. And some of them say, let's continue to obstruct everything. And others say, no, let's just continue to obstruct the important stuff. And then everybody goes, well, if you get rid of the 19th and 18th century rules, if they ever take control, they'll do what they want. Yeah, they'll adjourn for lunch. Okay, give me a break. What am I missing here? I'm missing nothing here. I'm telling you, these people are full of themselves. They all think that they're Cicero in a toga 2,000 years ago in the Roman Senate, and I'm very, very tired of them. Tired of all of them. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.